This morning's reading is from Psalm 55, which can be found on page 570 of the church Bibles in front of you. So that's Psalm 55, found on page 570. It's entitled, Cast Your Burden on the Lord. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go round it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I call to the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sabah, for reading for us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, as we come to your word, we thank you that your word is completely relevant. Thank you that your word speaks to us today into our world that is troubled, into our world that has so much pain and difficulty, and maybe into our lives too, where we have pain and difficulty. So we pray that you would speak through your Spirit this morning into our hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder how many times people have said to you, Happy New Year. And when do you get to the point where you just stop saying Happy New Year? I'm not quite sure where that point is, and you probably all come and say Happy New Year to me afterwards just to wind me up. But will 2026 be a happy year? Doubtless for some, there will be some amazing times. There'll be times of celebration. There'll be times of fun. But you don't need me to tell you that life doesn't always run smoothly. In fact, you can guarantee that at points during 2026, life will sometimes get rough. During 2026, some here will face real struggles, maybe declining health, a shock diagnosis, or even the loss of a loved one. You see, being a follower of Jesus doesn't grant us immunity from life's challenges. In fact, sometimes, because we are believers, it brings its own special challenges in the spiritual realms of life. So many believers across the globe, even this morning, are in prison for the sake of the gospel. So many millions are persecuted. Increasingly in countries like China, and certainly in the gulags of places like North Korea. In our psalm today, we're going to see something of the pain of life. Because in this psalm, the psalmist is suffering big time. But he's going to help us to turn our eyes to God. In fact, his conclusion at the end of this psalm, where we're going to end up, is, "But I will trust in you." So first of all, let's think about David's situation. This is a psalm of David. And David opens at the beginning of the psalm, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. They will drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me." Can you see, as David opens up here, that he is talking about the oppression that is coming to him from the wicked? They drop trouble on him. They bear a grudge against David. And then he continues in verse 4, "My heart is in anguish within me." Listen to this. "The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest." Can you see that David is in anguish? He's living in fear and trembling. The horrors that he's facing have just come to him and started to overwhelm him. In fact, he's desperate to be taken out of the situation. And he goes on, "Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace." David's enemies are violent. They're oppressive. They're troublemakers. And then, as I've been reading this deliberately, section by section, we come to the core issue in verse 12. "For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolent with me. But I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is their dwelling place and in their heart." Can you see the cause of the pain and the anguish that David is facing? That's emphasized in verse 20. "My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." You see, for David, these issues that he's facing, these problems that he's dealing with, haven't come from an enemy. You'd expect that to happen, wouldn't you? David could accept the taunts of an enemy, but the anguish comes from a close friend, my companion, my familiar friend. They spent time together. They went to worship God side by side. David listened to their advice. They talk, they live life alongside each other. Now, we need to go back here into the account of the Old Testament. We haven't got time to read 2 Samuel 15 and 16. But these chapters refer to the time when David's son, who was called Absalom, rises up against his father, rises up against God's chosen king. The king, King David, didn't act terribly wisely in the run-up to the coup. He could actually have been more diligent in his duties, and it might have been avoided. But instead, as Absalom, his son, rises up against David, David has to flee Jerusalem out into the country. And a man called Ahithophel was David's main advisor. Listen to some verses I want to quote to you from 2 Samuel 15, because I think this will help put everything into context. And while Absalom was offering the sacrifices, he sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city Gilo. And the conspiracy grew strong, and the people with Absalom kept increasing. Another quote, and it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Another quote, now Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem and Ahithophel with him. I've got two more just to put it in good context. Ahithophel said to Absalom, this is in the middle of the coup, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel that he will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of those who are with you will be strengthened. This is the advice from David's closest friend. And lastly, now in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed, both by David and by Absalom. This psalm is likely penned by David during his exile, as he's had to flee. The coup's taken place. He's been thrown out of Jerusalem. He's been betrayed by one of his closest friends, one of his key confidants and advisors. Someone who is now plotting his downfall and seeking his death. This happened to God's anointed king, King David, Israel's greatest king. He wasn't immune from the difficulties, even the extreme difficulties in life. And the reality is this, we will not be immune from difficulties this next year. Hopefully not the pain of the betrayal of a close friend. But there will be pains and there will be difficulties in other areas. As believers, we have an enemy who prowls around. The devil is pitted against us. For now, he is the prince of this world. The world is under the curse of sin. That's the reason for wars and disease and disasters and death itself. But in the midst of this, there is hope. David has hope even at the greatest moment of despair. Because one day, David's greatest son will come, King Jesus, and justice will be done. Number two this morning, God knows we can call out to him. Just look at verse 16. But I call to God and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan. And he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. David is in the midst of pain and anguish. And what does he do when he's at his lowest ebb? He cries out to God. And he cries out to God continually. In the evening, in the morning, and at noon, David utters his complaint, pours out his heart to God. In other words, he keeps telling God, I've got a problem. I'm in a mess. I need help. And when life goes wrong for us, we can do that also. We can come to God and we can ask for help. And we can keep on coming to God, asking for his help. In David's despair, we see amazing hope that shines through. Did you spot the words in verse 16? But I call to God and the Lord will save me. At the end of verse 17, we read, and he hears my voice. Verse 18, he redeems my soul in safety. And in verse 19, we read, the one who is enthroned from of old. Note that God is sovereign. Can I say that again? That's really important. God is sovereign. He's enthroned from of old. He's in control of everything in this world. And with everything that's happening in this world, it's great to know that. Now, we live in a world that's been wrecked by sin. We see the evidence of that around us just this last few days as we've listened to the news. As believers, we're not immune from the hardship of life. We will experience times of pain. We'll experience times of suffering. And sometimes, times of really huge loss. But God is ultimately in control. But more than this, God saves his people. That doesn't mean that our hardships will disappear. But there is a brilliant promise here. God redeems the souls of his people in safety. For all those persecuted believers right now, in prisons, incarcerated around the world, the promise is God will redeem their soul. One day they will be taken safely to heaven. And with our New Testament knowledge, we see the depths of this saving grace, that God sent his one and only Son. His one and only Son into this world to go to a cursed cross to die for us. Someone to rescue us from our sin. Someone to release us from the grip of the devil. So we, if we are in Christ this morning, have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. God paid the highest price he could ever have paid to redeem you and me. Therefore, as believers, we are precious to God. Can we just pause for a moment? Maybe you need to hear that this morning. That if you belong to Jesus, you are precious to God. Whether you feel it or not, you've been redeemed with the blood, the death of God's own Son. He's bought you at an amazing price. And therefore, in Jesus Christ, you are incredibly precious to God. And God our Father knows our circumstances. And therefore, we need to call out. That's what a child does to his father, isn't it? We need to call out to God. Do you know, sometimes, if I'm honest, I'm really so slow to do that. Presented with a problem or a difficulty in life, I've just got the kind of brain that immediately goes into planning mode. And I can kind of build a flow chart in my mind and with lots of what-if statements and kind of linkages. Trying to cover all the what-ifs. But you know what I should do instead? Number 3, trust in God. Come with me to verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Here's the first thing that we're to do from these final verses. We're to cast our burdens on the Lord. In April, May 2026, I am planning to walk the Pennine Way, all 268 miles of it, with a rucksack on my back. In it there'll be a tent, a sleeping bag, my clothes, sleeping mat, cooking equipment, food. And right now I'm training with a heavy rucksack on my back. It's stuffed very sadly with books to get the weight up right now. And I'm going out for several miles regularly with this big weight on my back. In fact, it was over 10 miles yesterday. And, you know, when I eventually come to the end of walking 10 miles and I take the rucksack off my back and put it down, it's, wow, I'm free. Isn't it a relief that that weight has been taken off me? And there's a huge sense of relief, and I feel that I can run. Well, I'm probably not run after 10 miles, but a huge weight has been taken off me. That's what happens when we cast our burdens on the Lord. Our burdens in life weigh us down. They tire us out. They exhaust us. They can stop us sleeping at night. They take away our peace from us. Oh, that we take off the burdensome rucksack of our anxiety and give it to the Lord. There's a lovely verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, well-known verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Again, as we look at the cross of Jesus, we see God's amazing love for mankind. And we're to cast all of our anxieties upon God. And the delight and the promise here is as we do that, we can be assured that he cares for us. God really does care for us. Is that an amazing thought for us to take into this next year? We're precious to him. He loves us. He cares for us. Now, how many of you are like me? Well, you're probably all saying, hope I'm not. But what I do is I pray and I cast my cares upon God. And do you know what I do then? I go and pick them up straight away again. I need to learn, maybe we need to learn, to truly cast our care upon God and leave our cares there and not go and pick that rucksack up again. The second thing here, God sustains us. Again, look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Here's a direct promise. We cast our cares on God and he sustains us. So as we cast our cares and anxieties on him, he comes back to us with his care and his sustenance. God will keep his people. As I've worked in Central Asia over a number of years, I've listened to testimonies of believers who've been in prison, those who've been tortured, those who've been ill-treated. And the testimony I hear over and over again is that it was terribly painful, but God has kept them. He sustained them. Even now, there are tens of thousands of believers in the gulags of North Korea. Don't let anyone ever tell you that there's no church in North Korea. Tens of thousands of believers barely existing in the most impossible situations. But God will sustain them through death itself, to the gates of heaven. And God will sustain you this coming year as you put your trust in him. Life might be really good, but it might be quite tough. But God keeps his people to the end. Hold on to that truth during 2026. And here's the last bit. We must trust in God. Where does David end up in this psalm? Having faced the most difficult circumstances, the difficulty of being betrayed by a close friend, being kicked out as king, he says, "But I will trust in you." Who are we going to trust in this next year? You can put your trust in lots of people. Sadly, people will sometimes let us down. People don't always have the resources and the power to deliver the things that they promise. Sometimes I make promises, and I always try and keep my promises, but sometimes I just can't keep my promises because circumstances change. Things go outside of my power and control, but that never happens with God. All the promises that he makes are completely trustworthy, and he always has the power to deliver on his promises, and he always chooses to deliver his promises. Sadly, as we've seen in the background to this psalm, people can change too. But God is unchanging. Isn't that a lovely thought as we read our headlines and find out the antics of our world leaders, and we face the disappointments? We can trust in God, and we can trust in the promises that he makes to us, because he is in control. So as we face another year, none of us know what 2026 will bring, but God's word encourages us to take this hope and this action with us. Trust in God. If you've not listened to any other part of the sermon this morning, take away the fact that we need to trust in God. And can I just say too, that if there are those here this morning who haven't put their trust in God in the first place, who haven't come to the foot of the cross, who haven't come and discovered a God who loves and cares for them, then this morning will be a great place to come and, as it were, bow at the cross of Jesus and accept him as Lord and Saviour and enjoy the privilege of having God, the God of eternity, as a heavenly Father who loves and cares for us. So, trust in God. He'll never let you down. He won't disappoint you, because trusting in God is never a disappointment. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the one who is in complete control of the events of this world. Thank you that nothing catches you out or takes you by surprise. But we thank you that you love this world so much that you sent your one and only Son into this world, as we've been remembering at Christmas. The one who is God, the one who became a man, the one who led a perfect life that led to a cross to die. Thank you that the Lord Jesus died on that cross to bring us into a living relationship with you. We thank you this morning that when we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we can trust you with the whole of our lives. Lord, please help us to do that this coming months. As we face issues, as we face challenges, help us to truly put our trust in you and prove yet again that you are a faithful God. Amen.